Welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on the show, we explore the survivor's journey, practitioners making a difference, and the therapeutic treatments and transformational technology that allow the body to heal itself. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. Through my healing journey, I've become increasingly aware of the way environmental toxicity affects my body. In the past, I've tested high for mercury, lead, cadmium, glyphosate, and mycotoxins from mold. I've experienced this as fatigue, full body neuralgia, and brain fog. And after years of conventional treatments with limited results, I knew I needed to ask different questions if I wanted a different answer. Now, around this time, I was introduced to the Ion Cleanse by AMD at an integrative wellness symposium. I came across a technology where people put their feet in water, and over the next 20 to 30 minutes, ions were released into the water that assists the body's natural ability to release toxins. As you can imagine, I was very, very skeptical, but after my first session, I felt clear-headed, lighter, and a little bit high, and I was intrigued enough to invest in a unit. My N equals one experiment, I've watched levels of most environmental toxicity fall by almost 30% after 4 months. Now, this is a friend favorite, and as people come over to my home, they ask, Freddie, can I please do a foot bath? This is a heart-centered company, the support is amazing, and they offer a 60-day, 100% money-back guarantee. The Ion Cleanse by AMD is a safe, non-invasive way to help the body detox naturally, and it's trusted by the Beautifully Broken Podcast. So reach out to Glenn at AMD today and see if it's a good fit for your home or your wellness clinic. Visit their site for more details at www.amajordifference.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. As always, we are bringing you some incredible guests in season three, and this is a long time wait list. I've had Dr. Patrick Porter on my dream list of people to interview because he has so much incredible knowledge about the brain, arguably the command center, or is it? Well, I guess we're going to dig into that. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Freddie. Great to be here.
Oh, it's an honor. So your name is kind of synonymous with brain health and understanding of the mind and beneficial brainwave states. If we were in an elevator and I said, Patrick, what do you do? What would you tell me if we had about 10 floors to go?
I would say I'm into brain fitness. If you don't feel like your brain's operating at the highest level of efficiency, I help to fix that. And then I would go into, hopefully they'd ask me some questions and we'd go into a dialogue on the way down and they'd ask for my card and download my app. We get off the elevator.
And we're done and you're healed. And I've set up systems to heal you, which I really don't have to do it, which is really the perfect formula. Yeah. If we're talking about the brain and beneficial brainwave states, you know, I mentioned this a lot on my social media. We use this same system, which looks at the psycho-emotional state and heart rate variability. And there's this one metric on this that I share on my Instagram all the time, and it shows my brainwave state. So I've got delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma. If we were talking to a layperson and they had no understanding of what those beneficial brainwave states mean or non-beneficial, how would you explain that to someone?
Well, I would start with the beta brain because that should be there. But what we're finding in the 30,000 scans we've done since I've gotten that technology, and we've got them all over, a lot of doctors have it that we have, is that beta is our reactionary mind. It's how we operate. It's also where we get in trouble because it controls the fear, frustration, and anxiety. That brain, if out of control, actually dysregulates the brain function. And that's usually where the problem resides. It's also heavy in dopamine. So all the addictions happen in that brainwave realm. Also, pain happens in that brainwave realm. So if you don't have beta, for instance, you would have no pain. You'd have no addictions because you'd be in this timeless place. So the problem is that it's there to protect us. It's part of our primitive resources. Without it, we'd be in trouble too. So it's protecting us. And even though we've evolved as a culture, our brain and body, our nervous system hasn't really evolved that much. I mean, we're still getting bombarded with things. So then most people get stuck there. So that's where the problem is. And I kind of tell them it's like that's the brake, really, if you will. That I mean, it's the gas pedal in the nervous system, but we need to put on the brake and get recovery. So to do that, we have to downregulate our nervous system, which is to get into alpha, which is why most people meditate or do breathing techniques. Alpha is what I call the intuitive mind. It's also a place where it's timeless. You know, when Einstein said, when you're around a beautiful woman for a minute, it seems like an hour. If you're on a stove for a minute, it seems like, when you're on a stove for a minute, it seems like an hour. If you're around a beautiful woman for an hour, it seems like a minute. You know, that's the way it kind of goes when you're kind of thinking about that. So there's no time there. Every one of us has been in a state of alpha at some point. They also call it kind of a between alpha and the next one I'm going to talk about, theta. There's a flow state that people get into, kind of a just where everything's happening, whether it's in sport or in a relationship or just doing something you love. You kind of, you know, Jim Croce said, there's never enough time to do the things you really love. That's because, you know, when we get in those states, we don't know what time is. You know, a lot of people equate that to YouTube now, because you get on YouTube and you don't know what happened to the time, right? You get sucked into the black hole. Yeah, because you're doing things that are interesting, right? Your brain's getting engaged. But in alpha triggers the brain, the acetylcholine production, and that's why people, when they fall in love, seem to be in a timeless place where you can't get away from the person. GABA is produced in theta, which is the next brain wave. So it's not produced in that. It's basically the brain tells the gut what to do and says, hey, start producing more GABA. So when we're in theta is the one that most adults are missing. If you don't have enough GABA and you don't have enough theta, then you're probably not going to sleep very well, because that's the gateway into deep sleep. So with alpha, that's where people would get autism-like symptoms. If they don't have a lot of alpha, you know, you'll get like stimming and nervous, anxious, those kind of things, because we need that to downregulate our nervous system. When alpha and theta are the two most important that we find in our work, because those are the two that aren't regulated. So when we look at somebody, if we could have a perfect brainwave, they would have 45% beta, about 30% alpha, maybe 10 to 15% theta, and the rest would just be whatever's left over. But what you'll find is delta, which I'm sure when you've scanned people, you found that most people are hanging out with over 50% delta when they're awake. And that's not a variant. That's actually happening to them, right? And when somebody says the masses are asleep, I say, well, we validated that with science, because most of them are in delta. That's supposed to be sleeping. But what we find is that, and with our functional medicine doctors too find it, that's when we see inflammation of the brain. It may be a traumatic brain injury. You know, there'll be delta, because the brain knows how to recover, but it needs time. And so it wants you to go offline for a little bit, downregulate the nervous system, let the healing happen. The fifth one that it shows on there, which I loved when we got it, was gamma. And gamma is higher levels of creativity. It used to be they would think of gamma as psychotic. You know, in fact, you'll still see it in psychological books and things like that. But that's not true at all. We've actually, the studies show that, like, the Buddhist adepts they measured up in Wisconsin, they were doing the meditations in the snow and melting ice blankets just by breathing, you know, and sitting there. They had heightened states of gamma. In fact, some of them were all the way up to over 100 cycles per second, which when you think about the beta brain, that's supposed to go up to 39. So 40 starts the gamma brainwave. What we find is that when we scan somebody with high gamma, they're usually highly creative healers. A lot of times when we measure healers, they have high degree of gamma, especially if I ask them, like, we have some Reiki people that we've measured with Quantum University. We get to go out there and see a lot of energy medicine practitioners. And I'll say, when we're measuring, just imagine you're bringing through the Reiki energy and it spikes the gamma. And when they're not thinking about that, they just have a normal brainwave. So we can manipulate our brainwaves by activities or by thoughts.
You said something really interesting, and I don't know if it's a stretch, but that these brainwave states, delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma, would be a communication network for certain neurotransmitters. So is that why we can deduce or pull neurotransmitter indication from a brain scan like this?
Yes, and also because they affect our whole biological system, right? When we're using that scanning system, what I love about it is the three different ways that our autonomic nervous system regulates, right? We have our parasympathetic or sympathetic, then we have our neurohormonal. And unfortunately, most people are using their neurohormonal system to run the whole show, and that's the backup generator. So they're like using the backup generator, delivering gasoline to it every day, because that's why it's so much work and effort to even live and exist. We need our electrical system. We're energy beings. And what we now know through the heart rate variability, which I'm sure your listeners know, but our heart has 4,000 neutrino cells. So it has a brain there. That brain is actually controlling the whole show, not the brain between our ears. Although it is commonly said that success is only 6 inches away, because they're always quoting, you know, what's going on in your brain. But the reality is it's right here in the center. I love it when they were doing work with a guru in India. And I can't remember the guru's name. I wish I remembered it. But they were doing the scans with him. Might have been Swami Rama, but they were doing the scans up here. And he said, "What are you doing up there?" And he says, "I'm right here."
Wow.
You know, they're going up here. So the rishis and the people in the Vedas, they knew the heart-brain connection 10,000 years ago, but it took our scientists, you know, about 15 years ago to figure that out.
I did this will come out after, but last week was episode 100, and we talked about many things: transmembrane potential, voltage of the cell, and we talked about the heart as a feedback loop, and started to look at the biological momentum that blood had, and looking at Arthur Marianelli and people like Rudolf Steiner and Thomas Cowan, who had looked at the heart as this almost hydrophilic dam that actually vacuums, the blood vacuums through the heart and has this vortex spin, but that the blood is actually bringing in all this information. And it made perfect sense to me, now looking at all this information we can draw on psychoemotional health, neurotransmitters, that this heart is just a big feedback loop and an information center just as much as the brain.
Exactly. Plus the red blood cells actually are what's storing we're photic beings. We're energy beings. When somebody used to say, when I was growing up, when I was like 23, I had a bumper sticker on my car that said, "I am light." And people thought that I was just being a hippie or whatever. Now science is proving that we are light. That's what we are. You know, we're light, sound, and vibration. So we're more information than we are solidness, but that the blood, the hemoglobin, carries that photic energy to the cell, which then feeds the mitochondria. And that's what you're picking up there in the psychoimmunology. You're picking up actually the ATP production in the body. How much energy does the body have? Because it has a vibration. Everything has a vibratory frequency. So if we can raise our vibration, we've heard that before. There's people that raise our vibration. There's people that rob us, right? Energy vampires that rob us of our energy. So we have to be very careful of our energy, because we live in an energy economy, really. I mean, yeah. Where's your energy taking you is the key question.
I had that happen to me this week. I had someone come into my space, and we're doing a little work, little one-on-one energy work, and just started to really push past those boundaries. And I felt right away, I was like, "Ooh, hurts my heart," because they were jabbing and I was retreating energetically, because I was like, "I really don't want to go there. And how am I going to get out of this situation?" And then the whole experience, the psycho-emotional toll of me justifying, well, did I respond in the right way? Was I a little too harsh with my boundaries? And so it became this experience where I wanted to show up to help somebody, and it turned out being an energetic drain because of, I'm hyper aware of that dance. Exactly. As far as somebody's energy or vibration comes into the room, do you see that? Can you make a correlation by looking at somebody's HRV and brain scan by how they would show up in a room with their energy, in your experience?
Oh yeah. I mean, you can see there's three methods on there that show. One is, of course, the way Americans do it, through the spine. We're going to see the energy flow through the spine. When they say the keyboard is the keyboard, the spine is the keyboard to the brain. So if we're not getting throughput through there, and it's more than physical, there's a psychological component, there's a spiritual component. This energy system is not just physical. There's all these different layers, right? So we can see it as the aura or the chakra system, and we can also see it as the meridians. So we're seeing three different ways on that. That's why I like that. So if I'm sitting with an acupuncturist, or I'm sitting with a Ayurvedic medicine doctor, or I'm sitting with a chiropractor, that energy, the way our body is designed to be at 100% there, right? That's the way we should be at 100%. And it's kind of like our system knows if we have too much energy to project it out. That's why the more we push through us, the more we get. It's not the less, it's the more. So we have to open up in like there's heartfelt. I don't know if you've ever heard of heartfelt meditation. It's a one that we've done a lot of studies with. And Dodgy, who's like the head of that organization, we went to India and we did some scans on them. And we showed that the when they were doing their visualization of pushing energy through their heart, their energy field just was going crazy. Because the more you push out, the more comes through you, because the truth is anything that happens through you happens to you. So as you're doing it, so when we see that energy flow, now when you see it dammed, what happens, unfortunately, like you see a black brain on there, I'm sure that and I've seen that with young people. They tend to be very negative, pessimistic people, or yes, they've had a real trauma. You know, something's happened in their life that's just rocked their world and there's no flow to it. And so when you see somebody who has their, if you're not at 80% or higher in the in your energy, you know, when you look at that, you're going to have to draw on the community helps you. So we're not just, we're non-locale. So people like to think with their physical bodies, but the reality is we're not. You know, we have this energy field, like you're talking about the heart energy field. And Heart Math has done a lot of, they have a lot of nice graphics if people want to see this, but we have, like even here where we're talking, we're actually sharing photic energy, because the reason you're seeing me is I'm sharing my photons. The chromophores that are at the cellular level are absorbing that energy. When they've received enough energy, it reflects it. That's how we see our whole reality. So if our energy is alive with energy, it's bright and brilliant, bubbling. But if not, it gets darkens and robs us our energy. That's why when we come up with people who are energy drains, you know, we come up to those energy vampires and they thrive off that. And they need, unfortunately, it seems like our media is like energy vampires, because they're just totally propagating negative information. Mm-hmm. We show that somebody who's positive, that's going through a life-threatening situation, they still have high energy, but there might be a part of their body that's not functioning at its highest level or potential, but their energy system is still there. So we know they're going to heal. But what we see, like if we see a black brain, for instance, which is scary, we don't even usually show that to a client because they start freaking out. It looks like, what's this charcoal brain I have?
Yes. You know,
what we do is we actually give them more light. We have a light cap we give them. We have PEMF. We have different, you've got to get energy into that system, because yeah, they can't do the work. You know, they don't have the energy to do, they might have the motivation to do the work, but after a while, even the motivation goes away because they don't have the energy. And then the body just poops out because they're mostly because they're trying to use that neurohormonal system we started talking about instead of the electrical system. Our electrical system is infinite. Nobody knows the resources we can pull in electrically through our system. But we do know biologically, we can only push so much through our body on a biological level. So, you know, when people think like these gurus and things like that, that have them, when I go to India, to Ames, and we've done two research projects with that HRV, just got published. One got published in PubMed. And we did it on a pranayama breathing technique where they were the nostril breathing.
Yes.
And we were showing them. And we showed that anybody can improve their biological state by doing breath work, which was kind of amazing. You don't have to be a guru to do that. You know, we had the gurus there as our baseline, because they're the ones that could do it like with their eyes closed. But then we had the regular population that never done pranayama, no breathing techniques. And within, by the end of the day, they were getting not the same levels as the other, because they'd done it for years, but they were getting like the 20 to 30% boost in their brain function just by doing breathing exercises. So it's incredible what we can do. Energy comes in many forms is what I'm trying to say. Not just, a lot of people think it just comes in a can, bottle, or a wrapper and has ingredients in it. You know, it's from the air. We have this pranic energy that we're breathing. And I think that's the piece that most people miss.
I think, yeah. Also what you said, and I just want everybody to hear this, that we're energetic beings, that we heal together. You know, you said in community, you have a physical form that's so full of energy that you're broadcasting a certain field. I'm broadcasting a field. It's clear that sometimes, I'm sure you've had this happen to you, engaging with people at shows, that you have a conversation, you like walk away and you're lit up and you just feel, you're like, anything's possible. That person just gave me information and it was like scripture. It's not because they weren't preaching. It was just, they were so excited, and the words and the energy and the eye contact, everything felt right as rain. and you walk away, you feel like you had a couple of cups of coffee. Like that's my example of that energy exchange. And to me, that's an example of healing.
Even science is proving every 40 seconds, they now know this is true. You can look it up, biophoton exchange. Every 40 seconds, every strand of your DNA is broadcasting a light pulse. It follows the dura in the of the body. It's like the fiber optic system, and it rebraids your DNA. Every 40 seconds, you're a different person. And that's why they could only account for 1%. The 99% of who we are changes, either adaptive or, you know, suppresses, depending upon our environment, by our conversation. So when you're around somebody that's got the photic energy and they're really sharing it and they're broadcasting it out, and you're a receiver and you can receive it, you're going to get that energy. So that's why some doctors, when they walk in with certainty into their, like say, exam room, and they're certain of what's going to happen, that certainty, that belief is just as powerful as whatever pill they might give them, or, you know, whatever therapy they might give them, you know. But if the doctor's going, well, I don't know, let's see if this works, you know, our really the broken medical system we have sets everybody up to fail. Because if you're a pessimist, it's terrible, because they tell you all the negative stuff. The optimist, it won't bother them. You know, they'll say, oh, they're not even hearing that they might die. You know, they're just hearing, oh, they're going to get better, they're going to get well, just do this thing. But the pessimist hears, oh, no, I might die, I'm going to do this. You know, and then that downregulates all their genetic potential. Basically, it starts turning on all the negatives instead of turning on the positive healing potential.
Or it sets up for the person who's the optimist the ultimate adventure. You're like, what? Look what a challenge I have laid before me. This is absolutely incredible. Look what we're going to do. Yeah. Right. That's amazing. So it's really interesting. And I just, because you're the brain expert, I want to pick your brain, pun intended. So I always have this picture of, you know, we have the cell and the sperm, and then it goes, you see the cell and there's that, like that zinc spark, right? Mm-hmm. You've ever seen that reaction? And then it's 2 cells, 4, 8, 16. And then at some point, our medical system says, well, all your feelings go into, and everything's going to just go into the brain. So any psycho-emotional problems with you is in this gray matter in your head. And that's never made sense to me. I was like, it's all one electrical being that all this information is stored everywhere in the body. So brain health or psycho-emotional health, to me, it's like, the standard model is, you know, you go and you sit down with someone for an hour, maybe they prescribe psychoreactive medication for to deal with your depressive thoughts or your anxiety, and that's it. You know, and you might go down that road for 20 years, or we go in this other route of looking at the body as holistic, the whole body, whole health and wellness. So I would love in your experience, you know, your opinion and as an expert, how does that work as a whole body system? You know, speak to the brain and the whole body.
The first cells that are made are your nervous system. Right? Your brain and your spine. That's what's made first in the body. So, but every cell came from that very first one. Like you said, it came from that one spark that happened. But can you imagine that sperm had a lot of anxiety? You know, when it looked, could you imagine getting up in the morning and seeing 100,000 other people racing to get to a safe place?
It's like Braveheart.
Yeah. So you're running. So we start off as stressed out, right? I mean, the egg's just going, I hope one of these idiots get here. You know, the sperm's running like crazy. And it finally gets there. And now what we don't take into account is, which no matter what you believe in L. Ron Hubbard, a few of the things that he discovered, I think were very true. And it came out in psychology because that's where he got it from, even though he talks really bad about psychologists. But the reality is that most of who we are psychologically, we got from mom and dad while we were in the womb. Mm. We were listening. Our body was absorbing everything. In fact, with neuroscience, we know we can touch different parts of the brain. In your favorite memories, you knew what was being said even three tables away from you if you're sitting at a table. Even though you don't consciously remember it, your brain, our nervous system is recording everything. To give an example, our ears take in 25,000 pieces of information every second, but we only process about 40 of them. So really our brain is a filter. And depending on our beliefs, attitude, you know, that's why all these things go into what do we really hear? Because we can say one thing to 10 people and they hear 10 different things, right? And our eyes are the same thing. Neuroscience tells us that we render about 80% of our reality all the time. because life's happening too fast. So what we do is we take a quick snapshot of it. Our brain then fills in all the details. That's why if you've ever been to the kitchen and we couldn't find that salt shaker and the other person in the house comes over and says, it's right there in front of you. Well, it wasn't there a minute ago. Well, it was, but you didn't render it. You know, so that's, we all have blind spots, in other words. So what happens with our nervous system and as we develop is we have to learn to open up these perceptual filters because we're basically, that default mode network you started off with at the very beginning that runs the show is not our conscious mind. Our conscious mind is basically in the back of the bus. And for most people, Freddy Krueger's driving, you know, not Freddy Kimmel. It's Krueger. You know, he's at the wheel and they don't know how to kick him off the bus because they gave him the keys. So we need to take back the keys and start driving our own bus. That's the reality.
It's so powerful what you just said. All those pieces of data and the brain's going to have this very selective ear into what it allows in. That's so true. It's so true. It's such a, but it's also such an important clue into healing because we've got this ability, as you're saying, to reprogram and repattern, not only our thoughts, but how our DNA is refolding and repurposing every single day. Like you said, it's always a chance to build anew. So our words, our thoughts, our feelings, environment, you know, it's a perfect spot. It's a perfect spot for me to pivot to a little bit of technology talk. Because this is the narrative, I love it. It's like, I want to say an adult toy store, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something different. My adult toy store is like PEMF and brain tap and stem cells and hyperbaric oxygen. I mean, let's just be clear for the audience. Okay, we can all giggle for that for a second. But for me, it just lights me up because some of these amazing technological advancements can come in and they can help us do some of the heavy lifting when we are not able to make that shift for ourselves. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about brain tap and how that would be a tool to help.
Hi friends, I hope you're loving the show. Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. One of the consistent biohacks in my home is red light therapy or photobiomodulation, if you want to sound fancy at a dinner party. Now, red lights have been clinically shown to help with a plethora of health benefits, including increased energy, better circulation, increased testosterone production, workout recovery, hair growth, and even help with fine lines and wrinkles on your skin. There are even multiple studies showing benefits with Alzheimer's patients. Personally, this is something I recommend for most of my clients to have in their home for its incredible benefits and relatively low cost. Now, from my research, LightPath LED continues to innovate their designs, and they include multiple wave panels and pulsing. With this initial research showing a greater depth of penetration and benefit to mitochondrial health, which, if you're a fan of the podcast, you know this is the moving target when it comes to wellness. Mind the mitochondria. So, check out LightPathLED.com and use code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN, all lowercase, for a 10% discount in the checkout. The inventor and founder, Scott Kennedy, is a true gem of a human being and stands behind every light that he sells. This is a Beautifully Broken podcast, stamp of approval, 5 stars. Now let's get back to the show.
So think about, we started with sound only and we worked with a group called the Monroe Institute, which is kind of the people that founded binaural beats. I mean, it had been around for 100 years before them. But what Robert Monroe did was he started to figure out, hey, if I can set up in the brain the signaling system, the brain will follow it. So that started, there was already a science called frequency following response. So the brain follows these frequencies. So just to put it in perspective, if you and I, Freddie, were traveling to Earth on my spaceship and we saw Earth in the little thing like on Captain Kirk, and we could measure the frequency of the Earth, different places on the Earth would be from 0.01 to 100. Now, our brain also functions. Now, they know it goes higher than that, but in science, they say from 0.01 to 100 because they've had some gurus or some adepts that have had brainwaves over 250 cycles per second. And they didn't think that was possible. But they're in these altered states where basically their pineal gland is beating like a heart. Their heart's not even beating, but they're throwing off all this energy. And so there's all this going on. So when we're talking about that frequency response that we have, our brain is always measuring against the frequency of the environment that we're in. So for instance, if we're near the ocean, that's 10 hertz frequency. Our brain's going to have that. It's going to have that frequency response. So what we did with what I wanted to do, because I'm really, my dad was a meditation instructor. I grew up learning to do something called the Silva method. For those people that know Jose Silva, my dad was the regional director of Michigan, and we did seminars every other weekend around lower Michigan. And so I learned how to meditate, but then I thought not everybody was doing it. And only about 5% of the people that start meditating continue, which I think is a sin. Everybody should be doing some form of meditation, relaxation technique. So I thought, wow, how can I take this ancient tradition and make it into modern technology? So we took the Monroe Institute. We took everything that I was learning from GSR machines, which is what literally what the HRV is kind of a GSR kind of technology. And we took that because we could get the feedback, and we were training people through sound only. And then in 1986, something happened. The LED, the light emitting diode, became mass marketed, which means that now we could start playing with LEDs. Now, what's important about that is LEDs can mimic any frequency because it's a very specific wavelength of light that we can do. The only problem is it might be a square wave or a sine wave, but we won't get into that right now. But then in the process of doing it, what we found was we could mimic a candle. Now, if the listeners have ever done a Jyoti meditation, which is a Sanskrit meditation where you look at a candle and you breathe in and you try to suck the flame, so it moves just a little bit, and you breathe out and you move the flame, but you only do it enough, and the farther you can move the candle, of course, it's teaching you to build your capacity of breath. And so that was, and I said, well, we can do that with LEDs. Let's figure out the frequency of a candle. Well, it's 10 hertz frequency. That's alpha. So the brain sees the frequency of the candle and mimics it. It starts to, so then it sets up a 10 hertz frequency. Now, in order to get to theta, we needed to include light. So that's where the candle came in. So we use light and sound. So we're using light in the ears too to bring more energy in. Because in order for the brain to do the work, it needs the ATP. So for those that don't understand LEDs, which I know you do, because it's the same thing that PEMF does, they all kind of do the same thing. The whole thing is to upregulate ATP production, nitric oxide release, vasodilation, blood flow. So we're trying to get energy into the brain so it can do the work, because it's not going to heal without ATP. And so we're going to bring energy into the brain. Now they can stay awake while they're meditating, even though they might not remember what they're doing. The brain, I love it when we would do live readings with people in our seminars. We'd hook them up to a QEG system, have them do the brain tap, and then they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, I fell asleep. And everybody's laughing because they saw their brain doing exactly what I told them it was going to do. Because the brain will follow these signals because we have an algorithm. I didn't create the first algorithm. It was Dr. Kaplan out of Moscow University. We licensed his algorithms. He's gone now, but I still keep to his adherence to 2 to 3 second intervals of change, because if you try to change it more than that or faster than that, the brain doesn't follow it. It's the kind of like riding bikes with somebody and they took off on their bike. You don't know where they went. Yes. It has to be enough to keep them engaged. So each time what we're doing is we're training the brain. And what I was telling you before we started recording was about we just did a recent study here in New Bern at our lab where we took people and we had them listen to music, which we know music is great. Certain music is really great for the brain, especially what we call 10 cycle music, which is a lot of the new age kind of music. In fact, we all have a friend that creates some really great music. It's one of the most popular on BrainTap with her music that she does. So we took the music, we had 5 minutes, we measured their brain, 5 minutes during the music, 5 minutes dry off, 5 minutes they listened to the same music, but with our algorithm and with nothing, to see what would happen. Music alone, while you're listening to it, gave a really dramatic change in parasympathetic activity, which it upregulated parasympathetic, downregulated sympathetic drive, which means we triggered the vagus nerve, which is what we were looking for. Then when we did the brain tap session, that was the same music, same everything, they got similar results that we wanted, which was alpha activity. And then, but afterwards, they were able to maintain that through the whole washout period. No, they didn't return back to their other state. That means that we're training the brain. So what we're trying to prove is there's a way to retrain the brain. Experiences alone don't retrain the brain. But if we can have an experience that can be generalized by the nervous system, like let's say a PMF session, which we've shown it takes about 4 to 5 hours to regulate back to whatever your new baseline is, because you've basically worked out the nervous system. Even though you just said, you just flooded the nervous system with a bunch of information, the nervous system saying, hey, what is all this information? It happens to be healing information, so it's not bad. And not like our 5G towers, the body's going, what the hell is this information? And it doesn't know how to process it. So that's kind of what BrainTap does, is we have different trainings depending upon the brainwave that we want to train to. We have different sessions like that. But for the general user, we have what might be termed symptom-specific activities, like if you want a weight loss, stop smoking, stuff like that. We also have ones for sports, like we do a lot with professional sports. Our boxer or UFC fighter just beat Conor McGregor. He was our guy. He was
no
using
BrainTap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that
on social media, you see him wearing it. He says, now it's time to celebrate. He put on his BrainTap and celebrated. So we have quite a few of the, probably six of the top 10 UFC fighters use BrainTap because for neuroprotective, because if you can keep your brain, light will heal the brain because it's bringing in that vasodilation blood flow. It also stimulates lymphatic flow in the glial lymphomic system of the brain opens up under these conditions. And also the sutures in the brain, our brain should breathe. Most people don't know this, but the fluid comes up the spine and the brain breathes. If you get in a traumatic brain injury like boxing or UFC, you're going to get jacked up. These plates are going to basically be pushed up against each other and they don't breathe anymore. So it's going to cause improper brain function.
Yeah.
But when you use light therapy or PMF, which we use them at the same time, mm-hmm. it's going to relax those muscles and ligaments and the body. Nerves control everything. So it's not the muscles or the bones, it's the nervous system. So if the nervous system gives you instruction, the body will relax and go back to its neurological norm.
Yeah, there's some nice overlap there. You know, some of the I want to say it's Dr. Breslin, you know, some of his work looking at Alzheimer's and using manipulation of the plates in the skull will allow the brain to drain some of these biotoxins and environmental toxins that will alleviate symptoms of Alzheimer's, and that those plates become locked down in this system that you're saying is very, very compromised. So an adjustment of that leads to better brain function is one of the things that I think popped out for me. Is it's always nice when the sciences overlap and you're like, oh, they do that. They see improvement there, just giving the brain space to breathe.
Yeah. Dr. Bill DeWeese, he wrote a book, Cranial Release Technique. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that book with him because what he does is they do something like that. They have this adjustment that frees up these cranial plates. When they're done, then they listen to a BrainTap session because those neurons, you know, Hebb's law, those neurons that fire together, wire together. So we need to get the brain practicing around that neurological change. A lot of people don't realize even when they're adjusting your ankle or your wrist, it's changing brain function. I mean, we've shown that in the lab. It's like it's not like the hand isn't connected to the brain. You know, everything happens there. So if you work on, we believe in working on both ends of the spectrum, not just physical, but mental, emotional, and spiritual as well. So we need to work on all those areas.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I noticed that even when there's a postural change, doing the HRV V scan and adjusting my spine, I'll see my rhythmogram change, you know, in quite a profound way. So my heart has new information from the adjustment, the physical adjustment. So I think I always can correlate that. What do you think, you know, using BrainTap, because I have so many people that are of this audience in the Lyme, biotoxin illness, mold. And you know, that is it's such a, for lack of a better term, it's such a bitch to get through because energy is your energy powerhouse is compromised from all those biotoxins in the mitochondria. It's tough to get out. But what I've found, and I'm really, it's awesome. I keep saying this. I said this all like last month, man, I'm so freaking happy. I've just reached a place where I just feel great. I don't feel like that low energy, depressive, toxic feeling anymore. And from all the stuff I'm doing, but it was a really hard place to get through. And you know, I know programs. I always quote Annie Hopper does the dynamic neural reprogramming. Dr. Gupta has a reprogramming. And without PEMF, without light, without antibiotics, you have these people have these miraculous recoveries simply by talking to their symptoms. you know, when they're about to be reactive or they wake up and they're, let's just give an example. Let's say their hands or feet are very inflamed, you know, and they'll have a half hour meditation where they'll just talk to the hand, be like, no, 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 I am not going to do this. And they get results. So how does...
Well, they know that words can change. Bruce Lipton showed this, that words can change up to 2,300 gene expression. So when you say whatever you're saying to yourself, that's why there was a book out in the 80s called You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. And really, you can't. I mean, if you saw the cascade of events that happened from negative thinking, people wouldn't do it. But they don't know what they're saying to themselves because they're unconscious. They're too busy being what they think they're supposed to be being instead of releasing. And I think that there's a lot of different like therapies like that that change the way people think about just by like even EMF. I mean, what do they call that? Tapping, you know, the tapping they do.
Yeah. Emotional freedom tapping. Love it.
So those are interfering with the nervous system. So the nervous system saying, what are you doing? You're talking. That takes a lot of neurological activity to speak, but then you're doing this at the same time. Brain's going, what is this sense? Is that, does that have something to do with that? The brain's trying to figure it out. While it's figuring out, it's rewiring. And the brain will always rewire to its optimum that it can at that time. So it's going to, we have this innate intelligence, right? This self-healing mechanism, but a lot of times the stress prevents it from liberating us from our disorders or disease. And once we are able to do that, that's why people say, if you've really stressed out, maybe you watch a funny movie. Then at the end of the movie, you feel really good because you were laughing, you're having fun. You got your nervous system out of that lock, you know, that happened. Or even like when people have upset and they get in a crying stage and they go through this crying, then they get really tired, they have to fall asleep, then they wake up, they go, oh, I feel so much better. Because they released that energy. They released it through, you know, I always say you can laugh your way or cry your way to enlightenment. You know, I choose to laugh, but there's a lot of people that cry their way. Whatever you're going to do, we have to get the nervous system engaged so that we can be a energy flow experience instead of this thinking that something else or someone else is going to make us feel good.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to figure that out.
I see people so shut down from being able to even know what they're feeling that if you ask someone what they're feeling, they don't usually come up with a real feeling. It's this weird phrase of, you know, it was like, that's not on the feelings worksheet. You know, as my friends, Kathy and Laura, they do a feelings and needs workshop and people will come up with these things and it's just, they aren't in touch with that innate feeling. You know, this would be a really interesting question too. You know, in bringing in a tool like BrainTap and working with the brain, do you have timelines where you expect to have someone see some sort of a tangible improvement that you like to work with?
Well, usually if it's a habit or pattern change, you'll start to see changes almost right away to those, like if it's food choices and things like that. But physiologically, we usually do most of our studies in 6 weeks, mainly because we see the biggest results between week 3 and week 5. As far as like doing the scans, we'll do a upfront scan, we'll do one at halfway point, then we'll do it at the end. And we started seeing after 3 weeks, sometimes we didn't see that big of a change, but then the next week we started adding that in. We started seeing, and believe it or not, and your listeners might identify with this, is that's the time most people quit. Like between the 3rd and 4th week of anything change, any change that happens. You know, if you think about New Year's resolutions, very few people make it to February. You know, they go, oh, dang, missed it this year. I'm going to try it again next year. You know, they don't, but it's that consistency because we all have this, like the second phase of change is where our demons show up and say, what do you mean I'm getting evicted? This is what we do. We have these self-defeating behaviors. And, you know, we go, what are we going to do? Well, somehow we've got to, you know, divorce ourselves from those and stay focused on, because unfortunately change can be easy and fun, but there's going to be a point where the rubber is going to meet the road. And depending upon how prepared you are with your resources, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, you can handle those. That if not, then a lot of people just cave in and they go, it's just easier to be sick.
Yeah.
You know, instead of working through, because there's going to be a time when the status quo is going to be, you know, you're going to wake up and go, do I really want this? Have I identified so much with my illness that I can't get rid of it? You know, and that's why, and you have to figure out what are you going to give up to get what you want. You know, it's like a lot of times maybe, and I've done this a lot when I've worked with people who are on disability and they're coming into the clinic and they're just about ready to get, you know, I mean, they're doing great. And I said, man, you're ready to go back to work. next thing I know, they're relapsing because they didn't want to go back to work. And I said, you know, if you don't want to go back to work, that's fine. Use this time to figure out what you're going to do that's going to bring passion and love, experiences, peace, whatever it is. What's going to drive you to something you would do that you would do if you didn't get paid? That's what you should be doing for your career. What I'm doing today is still something I used to do for free. When my dad was doing his seminars, I didn't get paid for that. And I had another job making sure I could pay my rent, but I would go on the weekends and help him because I loved doing that. And then I found a way to make a living doing it. You know, it didn't happen overnight. You know, I had to work toward it and put in the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a double-edged sword, you know, because I remember being so resentful in the seeker phase of wanting to be well and understanding Lyme and mold. And people would tell me, they're like, this is, you know, this is in your head. And you're like, fuck you. You know, I would be like rage. But it the more I've learned about my journey, yes, there were things that were self-created, self-manifested, self-fulfilling prophecies that I was stepping into and choosing every day. And it was whatever the pattern interrupt was, you know, sometimes it was really dramatic, you know, but finally I said, you know, myself after going through cancer and Lyme and mold, I was like, you don't need to have these dramatic health experiences anymore. Like you cannot do this, you know, and it was literally 2015 was like my last surgery. Like I just stopped doing it. I was like, I don't need that anymore. I don't need to learn lessons that way anymore. So there's a place where you will have a little bit of, for me, it was like a little bit of clarity through the fog. And then it was like a choice. And then I was just leaping and just kind of running for it.
I always told my clients, and I did it myself when I was going through it, was I kind of look at Joseph Campbell and look at the origin story of a superhero. And most of the people I know that have gone through something like what you did, or even what I went through, that becomes your origin story for your superpower. Now, you don't get to keep your superpower if you don't keep working at it, but that's your superpower. Because as soon as you overcome it, if you realize that everything is by divine appointment, there's nothing that's an accident, there's no coincidence, it's all happening for a reason, whatever's going on. I had to have ADD and ADHD and be held back in second grade to have the struggles I had to get through school to learn how to educate myself so I could then teach people how to educate on a different level, because I do also believe BrainTap is a super learning tool. That's why we use it at Quantum University to help the students get through the schooling. Because once your brain, just as an example, this music we're talking about, this broke kind of classical music or new age music, they know, they call it the Mozart effect, because if you use that music, you become smarter just by that music being present in the room while you're learning. So there's something about that frequency of music that helps us. So we all have to learn that. So some people have the superpower of making this kind of music. Some people have a superpower of just communicating and talking to people and getting them through their journey. But we're all on a journey. You know, this is, you know, this doesn't stop just because you get well. I mean, our bodies are always changing, adapting. So we've got to keep on it. And I think as soon as we take somebody from being in crisis and get them into, hey, this is a lifestyle. You have a lifestyle that's either feeding your illness or you have a lifestyle that's feeding your wellness. So let's get on a lifestyle that's feeding your wellness. I knew one of my early girlfriends, this was over 30 years ago because I've been married for 33 years, but I loved her because she could cook the best vegetarian food. I mean, it was great. And I, if you could cook, you got me at that, because I was in sports, so I could eat like nobody's business. I still can. I have to watch myself because my dad was 400 pounds. So I have to watch what I do. But she ate that way. And she always said, I'm eating the, I asked her, I said, Wendy, why are you eating this way? Because I wanted to know what her motivations were. Because she went out of her way to always eat. She was vegan, you know, and all this. And she says, well, I don't want to get sick. I never knew a person that ate so well that was sick all the time in my life. And finally I said, Wendy, you got to do something about this. I can't be with you because you're not a good example. I mean, you got to be positive. She would eat really well, but her mindset was totally wrong because she was eating really good foods so she wouldn't get sick. So her brain heard, don't get sick. So the brain heard, get sick.
Yeah.
So I always catch myself. Whatever I'm doing, I've got to reframe it so that it's all about health. If whatever is going, you know, the old saying, whatever doesn't kill you, make you stronger. That's because that changes the whole dynamics in your mind. Instead of thinking something's wearing you down and destroying you, it's basically building you up and making you stronger. So, and that's the difference. Like even like Hanoi. I was just on a webinar with the guy from the Hanoi Hilton, you know, that was in prison. And he was talking about how the ones that made it and are thriving, they played games in there. They made it a fun experience, even though they were in prison. I mean, that was terrible, but their mindset was totally different than the other prisoners. And I can think of illness kind of like a prison. I mean, you feel like your body's giving up on you. You feel like society's giving up on you, that you were dealt the wrong cards. But my take on it is you were given that because you can move through it or past it, and then you can educate others. You know, we need more leaders instead of followers in this world. You know, we have too many people following right now and not leading this charge of wellness and health.
Yeah, there's so much power that we have that we don't honor, we don't give attention to. It just we pass off our power, in my opinion. Is somebody who has a piece of technology that they sell and market, you know, what's your opinion? PEMF devices, brain taps, red light therapy in this world in 2021, do we need these things to get well? Could we do it without any of it? Or do you think this is a result of the world that we've designed?
Well, I think, yes, we could do it all without any of this, but it would take a lot more than we have available to us, because we have more, we don't even know the extent of what we can do. So I don't want to say that, but it's like food right now. We could be healthy if all the food was grown healthy, and if we could go back to the 1800s and have those crops, we could just eat, but we have to do supplements. So I believe there has to be supplementation. Now, do I believe you need to use it every time, all the time? Well, if you were to come to my house when I wake up in the morning, I have my PMF, like you saw there with Dr. Deweese, I have the one with the sound in it, and I have my PMF. I have the seed in, which is a microcurrent kind of thing. I put my hand in, I'm doing my brain tap. I'm doing 5 therapies every morning because I don't want to chance it. Why would I chance it? We have this great technology that can help us. When we're busy doing what we need to do, our nervous system is busy doing what it needs to do. Let's stack the deck in favor. And just this Monday, I had a blood test. And apparently I had COVID somewhere along the way because I have COVID antibodies in my system. I didn't even know I had it at any time. So for me, that's why I do it. I mean, if anybody is out there blaming society for what's going on, they got to look in the mirror. You've got to get your immune system up. Your immune system is in the gut. So in your gut controls your brain too. So, or I should say they work together. There's no, you can't do one without the other. So we've got, that's where the PMF comes in my thought, is to get my gut right while my brain's getting trained. And then I have the microcirculation that happens with the acetylcholine system, because how that works. I mean, I like to stack as much as I can at one time, because I'm kind of a technology junkie. I think I'm from the future or something, you know, because when I was born, I thought I was in the wrong era. And that's why I went to school for electronics. And my first education was in robots. And then they weren't robots like we're talking about now. They were solenoids in a different setting. They called them robots, but they weren't really robots like we're thinking about now. Now there's real robots. But the whole thing was about, I've always been into sci-fi and that. So if you're that kind of person, then you'd be like me and you'd like those things. But what I find is that for people to meditate today, there's so many distractions. If they can get away and go to a camp or, you know, go to learn, there's a reason you always had guides to teach you how to meditate. You go find a guru, or you go find a teacher, go do yoga or Tai Chi. Right now, you have to do those are technologies. They just happen to be the technologies of the ancient traditions. These are new technologies. And I don't think we're going to stop now. There's going to be a lot more, because, like, even though Rife got shut down, his stuff's not going away. You know, all these different frequencies, Soji frequencies, all these things that are out there, and how we can really mechanize them for health and healing. Even our G3, G5 towers, right? If I was in charge of that, we'd be broadcasting PMF. Why wouldn't they use healing frequencies? You could be bathing our whole world in healing frequencies. But instead, they have these frequencies that are damaging to us. So right now, we need something. Now, how you do that without any device, of course, is take your shoes off and walk outside, get some grounding, and get some sunlight. Because we've proven that, for those that are afraid of the EMF, that you can ground all that into the earth. Our body is set up to just ground that. But the problem is we wear rubber shoes and we live in our homes and we're insulated from the ground. We actually receive energy from the earth. And if, I mean, Clint Oprah kind of proved that in his book Earthing about how we need to be out there. So there is a solution there that doesn't take anything. Now, if you were to come to my office where I'm standing right now, I'm standing on a grounding mat in my socks. It's just like I'm outside talking to you because I can't be outside talking to you.
Yep.
So we can, there's always, what I love is in this day and age, we have technology that can mimic nature. Yeah. That's really what we're doing.
Yeah. Putting that body back into a self state of healing. Well, Patrick, I want to be respectful of our hour. I assume we'll do a part two at some point. We'll have so much to talk about. I'm really excited. I'm going to be getting a brain tap and I'm going to start working. I'm very excited because even though I have I score like 100, you know, on all these metrics, and there's like 18,000 of my power going through my body. The one thing that's unique with me and every entrepreneur I've scanned, because we're, you know, we're working outside of our human design a little bit to build something special, as far as like the frequency beats of my heart, if they're divided into three categories, high frequency, very low, and low, all these entrepreneurs were in like 86% low frequency, 93% low frequency of this one band of, and so I would assume that's me not setting down my work. So I'm excited to see if I can shift this, which it's been hard for me to shift that pattern.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things we see, you know, that should be a third, a third, a third, right? You should be regulating at the highest level, or they would lower it. The numbers lower to make it better. That's the response time. So that's one of the things we showed with BrainTap with the Alzheimer's groups we did. We had a 58% reorganization score, which meant after a stressful event, we could get their nervous system back to their baseline 58% better after doing BrainTap for 6 weeks. So it's about regulation. I mean, there's going to be times where these systems go out of regulation, but you want your norm to be balanced as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm excited to work with that. And so I have one closing question for you, the Beautifully Broken podcast, putting these amazing life events back together and being stronger after the side. What does it mean to you to be beautifully broken?
It means it's kind of what I told you earlier. It's like, that's, if you look at it as your origin story, that you're broken for a reason. And if you find that reason, you'll find your why in this life. And once you master that, you can then teach, educate, promote, or just be your best version of yourself. Because it's going to help you to evolve. It basically shows you what you need. And once you fix that, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to recognize what your skill sets are and operate in those realms.
Yeah. Great follow-up question. You get a part B. What's your why?
My why is that it helped me. I was a totally, you wouldn't want to hang out with me, Freddie, if you knew me before I started doing all this. I was a troublemaker. And I really thought God's whole mission in life was to destroy my life. And then I realized I was the most negative kid. And then once I started meditating and learning how to regulate my brainwaves and what I could do, totally changed my whole life. And I thought, wow, there's a lot of kids out there that think that they're broken. They're not. They just need to be retrained. And so I think with the right training, the right motivation, we could help people without drugs, without medicine. You know, we don't want people to take the pill. We want to take responsibility. So we want to get them motivated and teach them the techniques. And for me, that's my biggest why. And it's kind of went in now to bettering a billion brains. But the reality was that I saw a broken system in our schools. And I still do a lot with schools. We still do a lot of research with them, showing them how to upregulate the parasympathetics and they can learn better and keeping them stressed. You know, that's the main thing.
Amazing. Patrick, it was a treat to have you on the podcast. Like I said, we have to do another one because there's so much. We just scratched the surface on some of this stuff, but I'll be excited to do a little N=1 experiment on my own brain. And we can talk about the data and upgrades. And thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Namaste.
Namaste, Freddie. Thank you.
Does anybody think that these health upgrades sound expensive? They can be an investment, but after truly learning how money works, the inflationary nature of our fiat currency, combined with the fact that big banks charged, are you ready for this, $34 billion to the poorest members of society, I knew I was ready for a shift. In my opinion, money is energy, and I've seen too many scenarios which compromised health is attached to financial distress. The energy is not flowing. And to break that cycle, it's going to take a new level of thinking to come up with a different result. Enter Celsius Network. This is my bank that's not a bank.
Celsius is a place to store cryptocurrency safely and get an incredible return on your stored wealth. They share up to 80% of the revenue with the users, not the board of trustees, so you can earn up to 17.78% APY distributed weekly. I'd like to see a bank beat that. So what does that look like? Every Monday, I get a direct deposit of the money I've earned as a reward for joining the community on my beautifully designed app with this high-end customer interface. I've made over $2,600 by joining Celsius in just over 9 months. I've never made that in the history of time through my old, air quote, big bank. So they have 0% in withdrawal fees. Over 500,000 users and $10 billion in assets that are insured. And you can also use your crypto or borrow dollars or stable coins with loans starting at just 1%. That's correct. You can borrow from yourself and keep your own money and pay it back over the next 6 months to a year. Say it with me. Financial freedom is back on the market. So check out the link in the show notes to join Celsius. I've got a special offer to earn $30 in stable coins by joining the community. Please don't take this as financial advice, and everything I offer is an opportunity to do your own research and make the best choice for your abundance. Let the green energy flow so you can do more good in the world. My friends, you made it to the end of the podcast, and here we are in season three. I think our relationship is developing into something really special. So there are two ways to support this show. The first is by joining my membership program at buymeacoffee.com/FreddieSetGo. Here you'll get early access to all the podcasts, bonus episodes, video clips, discounted coaching, and free webinars with thought leaders in the wellness and transformational technology industry. It's a chance to take your listening experience and put it into action. The second way is to support the podcast through FreddieSetGo.com and download the Beautifully Broken Buyer's Guide. This is my new ebook, which is a collection of transformational technology, supplements, and courses that have worked for me, my clients, and my family. These are things that I've found to be incredibly helpful in my healing journey, and I put them all in one book. Most of them offer significant discounts just by clicking the link or using the discount code. And please know they don't cost you anything extra. And at the same time, they support the podcast through affiliations. My heart thanks you for tuning in. I'm so glad you're here with us. If you've enjoyed today's show, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. And if you want to connect with me directly, I'm on Instagram at FreddieSetGo or buymeacoffee.com/FreddieSetGo. Last message from my vast team of lawyers that I pay a lot of money for. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only. By listening, you agree not to use the information found here as medical advice to treat any medical condition in yourself, your family members, or others. Always consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having challenges with. That's it for today. Our closing. The world is changing. We need you at your very best. So take the steps today to always be upgrading. Remember, while life is pain, putting the fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I love you. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel. Namaste.